year, from my knowledge, and been going ice cream welding, a chauffeur lead is pretty close to the land. And I can remember from the time I started with my grandfather, we used to average about 15 miles offshore. That would be the open lead, between 10 to 15 miles. At one point, I can remember from Browville, my grandfather's, he always go out straight out from his house. That's in Browville, straight out. At one point, we had 27 mile out trail, one way.
So when that was in the, what time?
In 69 or 70. That was the longest I can ever remember, 27 miles. But my grandfather, that's nothing.
So when did it start to be just short like this?
I think in the 70s, it started receding. And like I said, that it's just too bad that the scientific studies didn't start in the 60s when actually before there was even discussion of climate change or global warming. And I feel that's probably when it started, you know, when the industrial nations really went to a boom, the full scale. The automobiles and everything factories all over the world. They said that probably when it, my grandfather used to tell me stories, and I said probably when it started receding. And I'm not sure if you had interviewed Kenneth Tuvok Sr., he might say something similar, but I'm not sure. We call him Dr. Iceman. You probably met him before.
Yeah, I have. I've never really spoken to him much, but I've met him and I've heard a lot of people talk about him.
Yeah, but he actually grew up in Barrow and stayed in Barrow.
What do you call him, the Iceman?
Dr. Iceman.
Dr. Iceman.
Because, when the Norwalk was created, he worked there until it no longer existed.
So what do you think the reason is that you have the shore fast ice that doesn't extend out as far?
Warm water.
Warm water.
Yeah. Warm water. There's nothing else. And you ever talk with Dan Andrich?
Dan who?
Dan Andrich.
Dan Andrich.
Noah.
Oh.
And I've never sat down with him for, 4 or 5 years. But he's been up here over 20 years collecting data. And his temperature ice and atmospheric temperature and everything. And he has the temperature from the time he started recording when his temperature is warming up here. Our climate, our weather. Probably that's when it's all kind of do a chain reaction. Our atmospheric temperature warming up, our springs are here earlier, like this year, 4 weeks early. And we're under the ice early this year. Too early. It usually, from my knowledge and going on spring whaling, we used to go at least all the way to Memorial Weekend. You don't need to do that anymore.
So when did you guys pull off the ice this year?
Probably May, mid part of May. That was too early. But, I had made plans to go spring whaling on Memorial Weekend. There's no more snow.
So. I want to ask you some specific questions about this year, but in general, when you talk about the extent of ice not being as far out as in the past, does it have any, well, you said that the warm water is the main reason, but what about the presence of Pukuliuk?
No, what?
The multi-year ice? Is it
Pukuliuk? Multi-year ice? Yeah, Pukuliuk rock. Yeah. We hardly see those nowadays. It's not like we used to. A lot of Pukuliuk and multi-year ice, we call it Mahalto. After, 10, 15 years, it becomes fresh water. And we used to have that a lot. Hardly see that anymore. And the massive Bristol Ridges and the icebergs, we don't see those no more. So we used to, they used to be our, what we call a sea, ocean ice, more like landmark. And the word my grandfather made used to look at the coleographs, the big damp ice, multi-year ice, and use for your spring hunt, because they're the safest ice than the young ice. And so if something happens and you're in the Tacolier Rock, you're safe. Even if you get washed out, they will always come back sooner or later. You always come back to shore with the years. They don't go exceeding 100 miles up, they don't go a few miles and come back. We don't see those most of the years, hardly.
Did you see any this year?
No. We had to bring our water from the land every day. Like the whole water.
What about this stuff that's out here now that got brought in just recently, in the last week or so?
Well, don't call it Picolegro.
No.
Those are just preserides, crumbled and whatnot, but they look like they're moldy, right? But they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you would go out there and analyze it.
Well, I did, actually. 2 days ago, I went out there by boat, and I don't have a lot of experience, but it didn't look like multi-eyes to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was pretty scary because this spring, we first went out towards Naparo. That's where we first break trail over here, Naparo.
This year?
Yep. We first went out over here, this big flat ice over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even stay there 4 days. And the trail wonder. Wasn't gravelable anymore.
So was that in early May? Or?
Yeah, in April, in May, when we first went out. It got pretty scary. We had holes on our trail already.
Mm-hmm. From warm water? Mm-hmm.
Warm water and sunlight.
So that trail is not on this map, huh?
No, it's not.
So we missed one in here somewhere.
Yeah. But we usually try to go ahead and park up here. And try to stay away from everybody, multiple willing crews together.
Mm-hmm.
But so we end up going out in front of probably north of ABC. We end up over here somewhere.
So what crew are you
on? I go with my brother-in-law, Lloyd Pinnacle.
Okay.
Pinnacle crew.
Thank you.
But I haven't taken my crew out in a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm registered for fall wheeling. I've been going out fall wheeling, that for sure. It's cheaper for me.
Mm. So which trail did you say you went on?
We went to this one here.
Okay, number four.
And then actually we had multiple trails. We had one here, it was kind of rough, and then we break, and we came up by a duck camp over here. And hit some trail and then go through the flats in this area.
So in between these two?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Even though there was trail, but we kind of very rough.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was scout around, we found flat ice and everything, that was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just like this black shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And there, what we saw here, we used this as a reference. Okay, the black ice is thin, flat ice.
Mm-hmm.
And the white would be the pressure ridges,
mm-hmm.
or rough area. So we look in all out and look through here, zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good trail.
Yeah, so you guys did look at these satellite images this year?
Yep, right after it was printed out.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, that was one of my questions, is if a map like this is helpful, and if you have any suggestions on how I could do it differently.
Well, no, I was impressed with this. It's probably for the sake of rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a no-slope rescue needed, a quick take off. This is a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because a lot of us, we don't care BLBs, but we have GPS coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good start, especially for the safety. due to our ice condition like we had this spring. Now, if we had this a number of years ago, this program, then we got all broken ice, broken off from the show pass ice. And one time we over here, we had about 17 crews in one spot that got broken off.
Which year was that?
93, maybe 94, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And there was a lot of us. And there were some of us cabin that kind of kept almost 100 people kind of calm because they were almost in panic state. Just from experience and knowledge. And by the time we got off with the choppers, but we, like my crew, had all the equipment all in one spot. We told them, okay, this cabin, take your crew, your necessary equipment, and put them in a skin boat. Your wedding gear, what you feel that most valuable to you at a wedding camp. But I had two boats now, so I had about 80% of my stuff. But I wouldn't worry about snow machines now. But the wedding gear and everything. But we had this and that time. But we had a certain rescue kind of searching around. And we didn't have a BLP some days. But we had VHF. And we had one of the nuclear boat coordinators with us. So the VHF is out here about 6-7 miles offshore. Mm. But at the end, all our gear in the back, in front of one of the islands. Coloring rock. It was huge coloring rock where we was on. And like I said, sooner or later, I'll come back, and they did come back. So we had other snow machines, which they were in town, so we went out from here out to the islands, and go retrieve our snow machines.
Oh, so you got some of the stuff back?
Yeah, we got them all back.
Wow, that's
great. It came back.
Yeah. So that the coil comes back with the winds or the currents?
The current and the wind. No, it was just we waited about 4 or 5 days. But yet they were still transporting some with a chopper, where some crews had no snow machines. So they transported the snow machines so they could get from there, repair their snow machine and everything, and head back, I could get the equipment. It was a pretty tough work, but that's part of spring welding. There's no easy spring welding in springtime. If someone says it's easy, yeah, it goes through a hard time ship. No experience, just young. The young women cabin, they haven't seen the experience like we have gone through. Been broken off and come back and everything, or back lost equipment, or they complicated back again. It's a matter of time. So that was one of many I've been, from my experience, being broken off on show fast ice. I think nearly 4 times in my last time.
4 times?
Yeah, in my last time.
So what are the main reasons that it is broken off and you've been on it?
Well, no. The current, high tide, combination of two and one. If it's all mother water next to it by itself, it will happen. The current, no. If we have a west wind, west current, and you have a high tide, the ice all the way on the shore is wet, and once everything's floating, and the wind, that all comes together, it just happens. See, like my late grandfather, from my mom's side, he's been broken off by the Wishak. Wishak, he went out seal hunting when he used to have our dog teams. We didn't have snow machines on there when he used to go to seal hunting, polar bear hunting. Got 30 days.
He was gone for 30 days?
Got broken off. And he ended up somewhere close to Cocktail and landed back. Came back home and lost 30 days. The little boss said he was a gone. But I knew my grandfather. So he used to tell me stories when I was young. So, said, don't ever panic out there. If you panic, that's you'll be gone. If you panic.
You said that was Kwasana?
Wisak. 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 That means broken off.
Oh,
yeah. Still fast. Wisak. And some of their young women came to experience that, but not like the old women captain.
So when you were on trail, before this year, what was the ice like in this?
When we first went out, it was pretty solid. A lot of snow, but you probably was aware we had that big blow right after the trail horse started to be made, and then we had a big blow, and a lot of snow came out. That snow was too young. It wasn't packed, and that's what made, and it created an insulation barrier on the young ice. When you have a fresh snow on top, not from the all winter, fresh snow, that stuff is very like insulation to the ice, and the ice is heating up from the bottom faster. But if you had snow, let's say in November, December, and it's there, it becomes really super hard packed. That's the kind of snow we like to see, but it's super hard packed and it can last all through the spring. But if you have fresh snow and it starts spring whaling, that's bad news. Now, for this young ice here, it's bad news. You'll get eaten up real fast from the bottom. That's that young snow is more like super insulation.
Well, is that the reason that you guys had to abandon this region down by Napra?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when we went back out there, it looked, the trail was nice. But it deteriorated real fast. Even when we were traveling on the same trail, from the on the side to side, yeah, it didn't last. Just the minute the sun hit, the warm temperature, it was gone. The snow was gone. And with water on top of the young ice, you've created what you call it you call it something else on land. Heat. You got to help me out.
Well, it absorbs all the heat, the water on top.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do we call that on land anyway? Heat. Thermal heat.
Thermal heat.
Yep. And when it's out of here, that water there on top of the young ice and whatnot, that's it.
Hmm.
And so, you won't know how long it will last, but my experience had a couple of days. Because that water just absorbs that sunlight, create a heat, on top of the ice.
But that doesn't necessarily happen if it's an old snow.
Yep, all winter. Because when you have snow all winter and it gets back hard, it crystallizes. You're probably aware that the bottom layer crystallizes. It don't create a crystalline layer, but it becomes part of the ice. And as the sun hits, it gets back harder. And you like to see that spring whaling, that there's super hard snow and crystallized snow on the bottom. That way, it don't create an insulation barrier. It does, but not like a young snow. The young snow is pretty. I don't like it. It's good for up in land snow machine, but not on the ice. So you see, that was a reversal effect. On land, it's good. On ice, it ain't good.
This trail, when I was on this trail, I remember that one being one that was really, it went over some pretty big ridges, right?
Mm-hmm. It, we used to call it around the trail pulled them up from where we started around. But we started looking around for other areas now. There'd be a bit of trail. When this came out, and looking at the eyes itself, and notice these black spots on it, look, why are they missing all these flat spots? And they're busting their backs, these trails through rough trails, ridges, and just a little ways, there'd be flat ice.
In this region here?
Yep. That's why it's like over here, it's flat. And all this is what's kind of flat. Even over here, it's like a big flat ice over here.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Why didn't they? I know that if it was the older welding camp, the older welding camp, that he utilized the flat ice more to his advantage than having to work his men on the trail. But this year, not like from my experience, we used to break trail 2 to 3 weeks. Like this year, a couple of days. And you're out on the ice, it's just water. It's not like the old days anymore.
So in general, what conditions do you look for when you're building your trail? I mean, you said flat spots, but what about in terms of just going in an area that's stable? How do you choose where you put your trail?
If I had to really choose from my current experience and teaching from my current five wrestling program out, but crisscross out, like number 6, they did, but they abandoned it. Right? Kimber Levitt. And it's Kimber Levitt's mom, Helen, and Isaac, late Isaac, we all used to, the captains from Brawl used to combine together, this big trail right in front of there, straight up, almost straight up. Used to, but we don't see that now. But that's where I would have been going, is going out here, straight up. But we have crew members that are reluctant to work hard, not that we used to. They went the easy way around nowadays. Everybody wants everything easy nowadays. Not like the old days, we work hard 2 or 3 weeks, break and fail. But we had big crews some days, 30, 40 people break and fail on one trail. And when they finished one trail, then we used to make another. Escape route. If anything happened to a trail, or anything, we used to have, my grandfather used to teach us, you must have an escape route if something happened to that one trail.
So in the old days, there used to be fewer trails.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but more crews. The country didn't used to get real wide. Enough for 3, at least dog teams some days, 2 or 3 dog teams to crisscross. In a smooth, not rough like we have nowadays. But nowadays we have snow machine, which some days we had dog teams, which you had to take care of the dog's feet. So it's always smooth. Nowadays we don't have dog teams. Snow machine don't feel that rough spot. They just break down.
And do people build escape routes nowadays?
Yep. No. No. There was no escape route like this here. Over here, they combine them by going through flat ice, joining them in. And we also, like we did when we break trail over here, which we found a flat spot, we had this trail came here and that way.
Oh, so you guys had a trail that went?
No, because it was all flat.
Oh, so you didn't need to?
Nope. Yeah. But then people found out, look at that. How did they get there so fast? So they scouted. It's pretty smooth. How did they miss it? I don't know. In other words, they weren't scouting. They were just going out, breaking ground without actually scouting. At one point in the 70s, I used to go out with a tractor.
In the 70s?
Yeah, with a tractor.
Just as a means of transportation or to bring the whale?
No, big trail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to big trail with tractor.
What did you use on the front?
A blade. Yeah, the torso blade.
Yeah.
But nowadays you can't even drive the cat out there. Too thin. But in the 70s it was super thick ice, you know. And at 1 year the ice was so bad, jagged, but it was thick. And the boy was scouting up north and down west scouting. See me go straight out with a cat. I think I went out about 7 miles with a cat. Until I saw water, that was it. You must leave some work for the captain.
were you the only one that used to use a tractor, or was there others?
I started that process that 1 year, going out with a tractor. And then after that, the mayor got a cat from the Nuxal border, headed up north, Great Trail, and they pushed Great Trail down south. Only they're not all at the edge of the water, but to the point where you can see the water. And so that way, the other cats can branch out and make trail. Leave some work. That was the only time I did that. They were the only ones, and everybody loved it because it was so jagged. You couldn't even walk on it, just like that. But we had massive pressure ridges, and that was close to 20 feet up with a cat.
Was that after dog teams then? Or was there still dog teams then at that time?
No, there was no dog teams. In the 70s, it was an all-star snow machine. That was the end of the dog teams in the 60s. In the 60s, that's when the snow machine started coming in play. Now, Polaris has a history of that. If you forget the history of Polaris, they have a history book when the snow machine first landed in there.
A lot of interesting things.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I know, my grandfather, my uncle, and I, we were the first dealer in the whole United States. Polaris dealer. Mm. That's why I know.
Oh, that's a good reason to know.
Because they wrote a book where it was the Polaris became 35 years old. The Polaris product. 35 years. And they created a history when the first snow machine dealers and the first snow machine that landed in Barrow. I actually took a picture of it getting off DC Street. Weens some days. And actually unloading the snow machine from the DC Street and heading from the Barrow store. With the Barrow store name on.
So the
and it was only $750 snow machine.
That's a lot back then, though.
Yeah.
So you guys moved into this area. What time of the year was that?
Probably
between 3 and 4.
Well, about mid part of towards probably first week of May, or maybe on the weekend after the first week of May. This art, the trail over here, just wouldn't matter. This was gone. Like I said, that first blizzard snow we had that spring, that was pretty bad. And I didn't like it when we had that blizzard just in the start of the spring, really. Didn't like it at all. I don't know what you hear from the other captain or other people saying that it might have been good. It was good only for a couple of days. But that, like I said, that fresh snow in it starts prevailing, it's the insulation period.
So then, did you guys end up getting a whale out here?
Nope. No, we didn't get a whale this spring. No, we tried it. You always have your ups and downs.
Yeah.
There's never a guarantee. Never. One is not like these aggressive people at APC and some of those. Because APC being a big family, so they'll be the aggressive. I used to go out with my uncle on the cross season.
When you were out on any of these trails, you said that you didn't have an escape route, but did you have a place that you would pull back to if mm-hmm. conditions were poor?
Well, over here, yeah, we did. Because when we came to a big trail over here, a new trail, and all these from 5 to 2, they all tied in eventually. Mm. When we came in the middle. Yeah, they all start tying in.
With little trails?
No, flat ice.
Oh, just flat ice.
Yeah. The flat ice, which we went out snow machining, and the people said, oh, the snow machine over there. They start going, you know, start scouting a little bit. And then, so they picked, there was multiple escape routes this spring. We got one or two captains or crew members that we got over here, and they started tying in the trail. After this map was created, this route was created. You should have went out there after this was created. You could just had everything tied in like this. You could have probably had everything tied in. And at one point, just for a curiosity, because the weather was kind of bad, went out all the way over here. Just over here. That was before any of the whale hook. First we also cut. Yeah, actually went from over here, snow machining all the way over here. Right through there.
And then all the way from trail 2 all the way over to 7.
Yep, right through.
Yeah.
Just didn't have to go fast, but he was able to drive snow machines all the way over here. And one of the crew members actually went probably right around here. Just looking around. To see how it was. So, like this one there, he had two escape routes. If something happened over there, they could have run that way. Or if ice bridge hits, they could go the other way. That's why they escape routes. It's based on experience. If they say a massive pressure comes in, the current crushes the trail, then you go down front, hit toward the shore on your escape route. Your secondary trail. If something happens, like pressure reach, it crumbles up that first trail, then you can go on your secondary trail. That's what you call the escape route.
Did you guys have to pull off the edge at all this year because of the coming ice?
Yeah, we did because it wasn't a massive pressure ridge, but it just no more water, no high winds. We just pulled off somewhere around there. But we felt that it was safe enough, and to make sure there was no off cracks. No, if there's an off crack, then we go towards the land tomorrow. Got to be very observant on it if there's old cracks.
Do you guys have any like refrozen cracks along in this area that you noticed, like weak spots?
Well, I think there was one old crack, but I didn't mind it, but it looked pretty solid.
Somewhere in this area, you said?
Yeah, somewhere past this ridge here.
Okay.
No, it goes all the way up. No, but it's just following that
way. Oh, okay. Yeah. along this ridge line.
It was an old crack, but it was. But you still need to, if you're gonna come ashore, basically no water, high winds, and you're gonna set up a camp outside, you need to stay away from any cracks. Because, you know, they do move. You won't see it, but they do move. If you have good GPS, you can see your elevation going up and down.
Can you hear it sometimes?
If you want to sit there and listen, you can, but no, you won't. It doesn't make noise. No. It just flexes. No. But when it breaks, it's like a semi-shot shotgun when it breaks. You ever heard it before?
No, I haven't. But I was out on the edge, not in Barrow, this is in Wales in the Bering Strait, and I was out on one of these extensions, and it was, I could feel it going up and down because I was right at the crack, and I was listening, it sounded like a squeaky door.
Yeah, like a, if you have two good sized eyes in there, that means you had the hearing them, okay, opening and closing on from the bottom of the water. But when they break, you'll know it. It's like someone shot a shotgun. Bam! That's it. I hope someday you do experience that when or hear it break. You see, somebody shoot a shotgun. No, it's not a shotgun. It's broken. It's just like somebody shot a shotgun. Bam! Boom! That's it.
But did you notice anything unusual with the winds or the currents this year?
No, I'd say it was pretty normal this year, but the ice condition was just bad. No, it was pretty normal, but I think there were a lot of idle, one week, there was about 4 or 5 days, like there was no current, but there was a lot of whales going. So. But they were going way off.
So when there's no current, they'll go further out?
I can't say for a fact, because there was a lot of ice out here, so they were staying off the main ice. Not on the surface ice, but they were staying on the main ice out here. Calling the mesa, I knew it was so close.
Oh, I see. Well, and then, just in general, how stable was the shore ice this year?
It was stable, but thin.
Yeah.
Just too thin. It deteriorated too fast. Because I like, see, the start of the winter, last fall. But due to the fact that maybe that's why our ice, the shore fan was so thin, we had ice-free condition all the way up to December, almost to January. It should have been frozen over by November. And it get pushed ashore a little bit. And that way the shore fast would have been thicker. But if we have ice-free condition all the way to, say, to January, then the ice condition won't be as good just like this year, this spring. It wasn't thick enough because it didn't stay. But if it stayed in start of the winter, if it stays out ashore, it'll be thick. But if it goes out, back and forth, ice feet continue, it's thin. And it just creates the pressure ridges, crumpling up. Able. I hope someday that our colony of rocks do show up around a little bit. I hope they do. Because I feel a lot safer on them than this kind of ice. And you have all the fresh water you want.
So I can pronounce it correctly, I said That's not
the Kali,
correct.
The Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga.
Yeah. Kali Yuga. It's nice and flat, you know, and large, you know. And that's where the captain would like to see and stay on, is the Kali Yuga, very solid. And if something happens, they say break off, and then you still have all the fish where you want. You won't run out of anything, but you still have all the sea mammals to hunt off. But without water, you can't go far. Anywhere. Without water, you can't. Too much, you just dehydrate. And you know, salt water is not good for you. Just get you sick. And I don't like drinking snow. Yeah, it's good, but yet it's not effective water. The water's just noise. I don't even know that, but I hate drinking snow water. Your body dehydrates fast. Drink snow water.
You mean if you just eat the snow, or?
Yep, eat the snow or make water.
Yeah.
With snow, to me, it don't taste right. And I had to drink more. Twice a lot more than Pikaliak. Just say Pikaliak ice, I can drink one cup and I'll be all right. There's no water, I have to drink twice as much. Just for your body will be in good health. So you're exerting more energy and burning more fuel.
Well, even though you said this ice out here was thin, was it thick enough to haul the whales up onto?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they pull a number of whales. No? Yeah, that was good, you know, that they had got the whale before the ice deteriorated. You know? Yeah. Me and Lloyd, we pulled off after when they started struck and lost whale. When they started struck and lost, they said, one right after another. And, they said, stand pull ashore. No. And that's when everybody pulled ashore, one by one.
After there's a lot of struck and losses.
Struck and lost.
So what, Lloyd, what's his last name?
Penicu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, London, brother.
Oh, your brother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd like to go out. And one year we, you know, got whales together in one spring. And we had a blast at the Nalakadak. Oh, definitely there was four crews, you know, all at once, festival, Nalakadak. And the committee had a lot of blast, and there four of us. There was Tony Edwards then, Lloyd, myself, and there was one more. I can't recall who it was. But we had a blast. We pulled off from the with our skin boats at once. We up already at the same time, in the same spot. No, brought in our skin boats. No, I don't know if you've seen what they do when they come. Successful whaling captain bring their skin boats back. Yeah, us four, we brought our boat back all at once that one day with our flags on the skin boat. Actually, a lot of elders, you know, really admire us four to work together. They have never seen that in a long time. Up all at the same time, and the same four crews at a festival at the same time. And the whole town, everybody was having.
So what crews were those?
There were four crews. My crew, Brawl 4, Pinnacle, Edwardson, and could be Harry, but I'm not sure. I can't recall. Remember the fourth one, but it was in 94.
So all four crews got four whales working together?
Well, we pulled off from this ice called a Boaldi. We came ashore at the same time. And then we had another duck at the same time in June.
That made the elders happy, huh?
Yeah, they're good elders. It's the elders that really get a kick out of it, you know, and we had a captain or work to it, but not an individual couple, but a number of captains, you know, for the same cause, being coming home safe and having a blast. And we haven't seen that ever since, you know, things like that. We haven't seen one like that ever since we did it in 94. And hopefully, maybe someday it'll happen again. But my wife just found my grandfather's flag again, original flag, World War. Gun ammo box has copies of the flags, not the original. But I put the original away. And one of them came up, she found it the other day. Very fragile. About a 70-year-old flag.
Is it made of some skin? Or
no, just the cloth.
Just cloth.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to ask you too many questions. You told me a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, good. No, like I said, no. Experience, the knowledge. And like I said, no, my grandfather took me out, like taking me out when I was, I believe when I was 8 or 9. So yes, ice boy, all ice. And learn how to use a stove, then I'd be a college boy. From there, I just really up the ladder. And I had good uncles, you know, good uncles, good daughters, you know, that were willing to educate me, train me, you know, to where I am now. I don't think I would be sitting here if it wasn't for them, or to become a fourth generation whaling captain. Anything else?
No. I think you answered everything that I was interested in. But I wanted to ask, just in general, I am interviewing people, and then also we're using your guys' trails to get our scientific data. So we want to try to share, you know, the stuff that we collect, and that's why, you know, I decided that I wanted to try to make these maps. And we just wanted to ask if there's other things we could do that could help, either in the form of a map or providing some kind of data or anything. I would be interested in trying to contribute a little bit more to the community.
Well, yes, they got a trail map.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Of this one here?
Yeah, but it must be close, but yeah, Garmin. I use my Garmin a lot. Not just on ice, but even on land. Got away really well. Might have to go outside. If I don't acquire satellites in here, I might need to go outside.
Oh, that'd be great to actually have that trail there.
But no, when I saw this, I think it would benefit the captains. Mm-hmm. It would benefit the community, and it would start probably get more educated on how to use a GPS. And folks from there will go help butcher the whale. Now they won't be going on the wrong trail. And that would be beneficial for swim rescue. Either for emergency situation. But I was impressed with this, and then when I heard about this, we started.
Well, I'm going to do it again next year. Although this year I came up for 2 weeks, and then I have to go back to Fair Ranch for 2 weeks to be with my wife and them. But I think next year I'm going to try to stay up here all spring, so I can have it more updated.
hungry. Yesterday I got scolded. See, you got kids going on. I'm gonna get it. I'm working at her update program here. I haven't done it yet. Okay, we're going right in the water. See how clear the street it is?
Mm-hmm.
Can you zoom out?
Why? Yeah, I got to zoom out. See, there's other stairs. Where we were at, there's the other trail. And that was one of the sexual weddings we had when they were pushing Kuban, Azok. See, that's where we was at.
You were at this, the end of this line there?
Yeah, right there in the middle.
So that was...
Okay, Kuban, it was over here, I think. Azok.
Oh, how many?
Yeah, along with Roy and Nashuak, and there were a bunch of crews here.
Oh, okay. In here somewhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But that's where they were pushing oil.
Mm-hmm. And then you were somewhere then.
And...
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
This where Higgy was now, I was also just squatting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
See, where I could go, over here.
Mm-hmm.
See it. That trail.
Oh, yeah, this is,
See, this one here is this trail.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Yeah.
And that was when I was just cutting around. And just came back. They had to start going around here. And I went down the ways, just cutting around, went up. And I marked at number 16 when they, I saw a cut their well.
Mm.
But I didn't have my GPS when they went to other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of boats that I didn't feel, I didn't want to get lost, knowing all these trails were already in place.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just running off my snow machine.
Yeah.
Snow machine speed. And I heard that you were using a differential GPS where you had to walk.
Well, I did it that this year as just pulling it with my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that, except for the snow made it hard, that fresh snow that you talked mm-hmm. about. But I think I figured it out that I can actually put all this equipment on a big sled
mm-hmm.
and haul it just really slow. Because I tried that out in late May, and it worked fine.
So
I think next year I'll just put on a big sled.
Well, one of the things when I got the by Carmen.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get this brand now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. But people say, well, you get this, well, you get the Carmen. Carmen, no, they don't have my stock number.
Mm-hmm. You changed the model.
Yeah. And they're smaller. And I like this one. I used to have Magellan's almost similar to this one, but it just got outdated.
Yeah. Well, the reason that we use the differential is for to get this height.
Mm-hmm. See, what you only do, what if you're going to do the ice thickness, like what you did here.
Mm-hmm.
I done a similar project in the Elson Lagoon.
Yeah.
But we were going far and beyond that. What the equipment you had, but I had a guy from Seattle come up and make a different GPS, incorporate a different GPS along with how thick the ice was, but yet the bottom of the lake, this Elson Lagoon, bottom.
He had that in the same.
Yep, but also on top of that, how to was kind of experimenting on military equipment, but updating it to metal debris on the bit of the Elsinore. So it was combination. And yet, when we hit the metal, it would show how big it was. But the thing was, we had to make a slit, no metal. All aluminum nails, plastic runners, and everything. And we had a rope. We had to use manila rope. And then we had two antennas off the side of the slit, and a big power pack battery. And it worked. We had the top of the ice, and the bottom of the ice, bottom of the lake bed, and then picking up metal.
Yeah,
all I want.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that I want to try to do next year is actually give these out to some of the captains as soon as it's caught.
Mm-hmm.
I was learning how to do it this year, so it was tough. But and then. We do have data for the bottom, so we can put that in there too, so you see where the and then you can see where some of these come down and ground to the bottom.
See, what they used before, I haven't done well, is depth and fish finder. I used to do that in a little bit of technology, it's been learning.
Is that at the edge?
Yeah, right at the edge. And you use that little beeper now. Beep! And not the seals, not the free, but we had it calibrated to where it was big enough. I was going beep, but I opened the eyes. But I made it my own bracket, and straight down made a bracket 45 degrees from the edge of the ice. And okay, whales coming this way, we pointed that way.
Oh, so you can actually see, you can see the whales.
And I had a 80 smarter.
And it worked to see the whales?
Yeah. You can see the whales, the big blacks, the screen just black out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's nothing on the screen, or the whale right there. Okay, we find out what the blackout screen was. So if we black out, that whale there. If you hear a bleep, blurp, bloop, and the screen blacks out, everybody would be, they had the screen board ready. Wait for it to come up.
You still use that?
Not anymore. It was all technology of days. They got better ones now.
Yeah.
After you got paranoid with the camera. And the wild camera. But a lot of people are made to see it, what they were using. You know, fish finding, they were watching fish. But they were amazed that seeing a lot of fish underneath. I said, look, we know it's been there. We just have a fish. And this is why. Just lazy. Anyway, if they want, everybody wants to, everything's too easy nowadays. See, one time me and my counselor made a seal net, 10 inch mesh with a twine, about 100 feet long, handmade, just to get seals. My grandmother had a skin strong shop, so they had to get a seal with a bullet hole. It would hold on one end, and they would start, okay, got a seal and pull it up. Then we would be on the pressure, on the ice like that, pointing. My grandfather would be on one side and I'd be on the other side, just holding on to it. So we'd walk it around, put it under the ice, and a couple of weights. Just hold on to it. Boot, pull it up, whack the seal, skin it, no bullet hole. Just the way some days a lady's leg of no bullet hole.
I never heard of that.
Don't see that no more.
A lot of work.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's where one learns to become patient. Sit and wait. And I'll be patient like a government. One word at a time. Government works at real slow pace. way it works. Nowadays, everybody living on a fast lane. Even here is getting sick. Life is starting to go fast, you know. Like, you know, Anchorage, you know, fast lane last summer. I don't know how people can live like that.
Fairbanks is pretty fast, too.
But not as fast as Anchorage.
No, no.
Not yet. It will when the construction of the gas line.
Did I wake you up?
It will. Just like the 70s.
I was outside.
70s, Anchorage and Fairbanks was Tuesday was so busy when the whole line was being built.
I'll call you back later when you are quite awake. Okay. Bye.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Yep, it was good. Thank you. I've seen a lot of these.